This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, Ellen, I'm going to ask you to begin calling the roll now.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Anita Adams. Anita Adams. Yao. Yao. Thomas Blanton.
Here.
Wayne Bruce, you said, is going to be absent, and he contacted you.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Bill Curtis.
Good evening. I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. Violetta.
Here.
Vanessa.
Here.
Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Donna Grimes is going to be absent, and she let me know, and I, as I said, she's in the hospital right now. Kamal?
Present. Present.
Okay, thank you. Julie? Julie? Arthur Highland.
I'm here. Happy New Year, y'all.
Happy New Year. Max Merrick. Max. Jerry Paris is here. Minerva.
Present.
I heard of you. Okay. Adele. Adele. Frank Stearns contacted Dennis.
But he's actually also here.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. And then Dennis Williams.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you call Sarah?
So we, pardon me?
You called Sarah?
Sarah Brown.
Yeah.
Here present. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Anita? Anita?
Okay. Anita, I spoke with her earlier. She's finishing up something at her job, and she said she would be dialing in.
Okay. Yao? Has anyone heard from Yao? Okay. Julie, is she here yet? Julie? I think I hear her. Julie?
Nope.
Nope? Okay. Max?
Did Max say that he was going to be on vacation and when we were talking about the, when he said he wasn't going to be able to make the thing this weekend?
Yeah, he said he would be out of the country, but he didn't say anything about the meeting. But I guess we can assume if he's going to be out, he's already out of the country.
I think that's okay. I think we can excuse him.
Okay, so we'll put him as excused?
Yes.
Okay. Adele? Adele? Has anyone heard from Adele?
I was in touch with her earlier today about the event. She did not say that she would not, was not coming, so she may still show up.
Okay. I'll just put, okay. And you can just let me know if you hear, see Adele on there. If Yao and Julie. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ellen. And thank you all for being here. I know it's still a busy time, so we will try to move through things appropriately. First action is approval of the agenda for this meeting. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. And the minutes for the December meeting, any corrections, additions, objections? All right, I hear none. The December meetings are hereby approved. And actually, before we get to the GM report, because I know a couple of people have to bow out, I'm just going to ask Minerva to recap the event this weekend quickly. That's a big part of what will become the community outreach report. So we'll get a lot of that taken care of early too. But Minerva, do you want to summarize where we are?
Yes.
Those of you who have been RSVPing over the last couple of days, thank you very much. I've been recording those. Go ahead, Minerva.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. For everyone, we are scheduled. Well, we have the meet and greet on this Saturday at Bus Boys and Poets, and the time is from 5 until 8 p.m. We'll be able to get into the room 30 minutes early to go ahead and set up. And I thank Dennis, just counting what you provided. We have maybe about 40 people. Am I correct with the count? That's what I'm showing, and whomever else we get tonight, and I'll speak with the young lady on tomorrow regarding the count. And we do have to leave the space by 8 p.m. and have it in a certain order, or there will be additional fees. So the plan is with the meet and greet, Dennis will thank goodness he's going to be able to be there, so he'll be able to welcome everyone from the LSB, being our welcoming everyone. And then there is a part where we'll do like a human scavenger hunt and spend time dialoguing with each other. And we will have also appreciation items that we'll be presenting to the programmers that are able to attend. And Gloria and her niece are going to go ahead and decorate the room for us. And the thing that we're using in the room is that it's the WPFW local station board showing our appreciation for our programmers who are the heart and soul of the radio station. So that's going to be our message to them. And we'll use that time to begin to build relationships. And hopefully this won't be the last time that we come together, but the beginning of something where we're all working towards working towards making sure the station progresses and builds in 2023 and going forward. We will have music, and I'm thinking, did I miss anything?
Yes, we have the comedy stylings of Chip Williams.
Thank you. How can I forget that? I'm so excited about that, and thank you, Sue, for suggesting him and him agreeing to come and be part of this. That is just gonna, I think I call it the icing on the cake. So we do plan to have a nice time, and you know, and tell him, yeah, I'm buttering him up, and so I know it's gonna be fun. And everyone that on the board, if you haven't RSVP'd, please do so. And it's not that you have to stay the full 3 hours, but at least come in, and that's what do they say, show your face in the place. Because again, we could be standing next to the programmers or they next to us, and we wouldn't know each other because we don't know we haven't had a chance to meet up and introduce ourselves. So that's what this is about, and I've been getting very good. Everyone seems to be excited, and we want to keep that going. Any questions from anyone?
Let me just add quickly that if you think that you are going to be able to stop by and haven't let me know yet, drop something in the chat or send me an email by later this evening so that Minerva can get the can get a good count to the venue tomorrow. And Vanessa has her hand up.
Hey, Minerva, I just wanted you to repeat where it's going to be. There's several busboys locations, so just wanted people to be really clear about where.
Okay, for those who attended the Jazz and Justice comedy, this is at the Brookland location, and it's 625 Monroe Street Northeast. So if you'll go on site and look for that one, I know someone had said it was in Tacoma Park, but and Gloria and her niece did go by. So that's the location. Is that anything else, Vanessa?
No, 5 to 8 at the Busboys in Brookland, right?
Brookland, yes, not Tacoma, yes. Brookland.
Yes. Okay.
And just to be clear, that's about a block away from the metro. So right. It's really easy to access. If anybody, you know, is searching for a place to park, we live a few blocks away. You're welcome to come to our house and we're going to walk over, but whatever.
And Sarah's hand is up.
Yeah, I don't intend to participate. I'm just coming off of COVID and I'm sure you don't want to join me. You don't want me hugging you, everybody, and breathing on them. So, but I would like to know how I can send you some money to support the effort. So,
you know
let
what?
Me know. If you could tell us how to contribute, at, you know, I'd sure be glad to send some stuff to your way because I know this costs money.
Right. Okay. Well. What I have is I have a Cash App, and the Cash App is Miss MS Box, B like boy, OX, 19. And if you want to verify that that is me, it'll show my name and also my number, 202-415-7473. Okay. And then also, you can mail it to my home. And that address is 10706 Mullican, Mullikin Drive. That's in Clinton, Maryland, 20735.
Okay. So 10706 Mulligan Drive, Mullikin, Clinton, Maryland, 20735.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions or comments? And thank everyone for your cooperation and support to this point. We're looking forward to this. Okay.
Jerry.
Yes. It's Jerry.
If my name's not on the list, please add me to it. I will be there. Thank you.
It is on the list. Thank you. Okay. Well, if you think of anything else pertaining to this, we can return to this later in the agenda. We will probably have a few minutes to do that. In the meantime, Jerry, I believe you are up.
Okay. Earlier today, I did receive an email as regards some of the items that you guys wanted for the general manager report. Since then, I've had a small crash on my computer system, and I'm trying to get that back up and running. So right now, I'm joining this meeting on my phone. I hope I sound okay. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Let me get to the business at hand right away then. First of all, we had a very successful end of year fund drive. I cannot express to you how much work was involved to make that happen. It was a monumental effort. I have to do a tip of the hat to the programmers. It is very appropriate that we're going to have this meet and greet for the programmers, because once again, it was the programmers that came in and saved the day. It was phenomenal. The staff people that were available to help out, hats off to them also, but we had some pretty severe, I would say to date, the severest handicaps that we have ever had going into a drive. Our PD was in extended medical leave of absence. Annette Carson was on a very, very well-deserved vacation. Vinny had a death in the family. Vinny lost his father, so he was away. Sataria had a death in her family, and so she was away. So it was left to the remaining staff, mostly myself, to carry as much as we could with the programmers. And programmer Lona Elias stepped up to help us produce as many pieces, drops, you know, recorded pieces that we could use for the pledge drive, and actually produced some pieces that we were able to offer as pledge premiums, which actually moved quite well. For anybody who was listening, we were offering the Ambrose I. Lane Senior Package, and a lot of people ordered that package. So understand, the goal for this pledge drive was mistakenly set at $200,000. Nick Arena, previous treasurer, and I looked at previous performance, and there had been previous end of year drives that came in at around $213,000, $214,000. So we conservatively thought that we could set it at $200,000. While we were underway, we were informed that the standard goal for the end of year drive is $150,000, not $200,000. But we kept it at the 200 mark because it was making movement towards exceeding the $150,000 goal. There are some questions whether or not we would make it or not, but that's how it goes for every drive. The momentum builds. It starts out slowly, and then it builds and builds towards the end. As we approach the end, we exceeded the 200 goal. The last tabulation in the system showed us having raised $208,000. There are other donations that come in that are not calculated. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. There are other donations that come into the system that aren't reported immediately via Cash App and PayPal. And when we did the computations on the estimates of those amounts coming in, it put our total more in the neighborhood of historic numbers, 214. It was very important for us to make that goal. It was a tough time for the station. Going into pledge drive, understand, before the drive started, right before it started, when we encountered that deep freeze in the region, the heating system failed at the station. And it was, we could not occupy the suite at the temperature that it was at. But we caught it that morning and addressed it that day and got the repairs done for a steal, actually, and got the heat on so that for those people who were at the station, we could occupy the station and conduct the drive as much as we could. Understand, the few people that were there were pitching to air and also running to the next room and answering phones. It was almost athletic in what we were doing to keep up, you know, with input and output, you know, keep the system working. So we made it. Now, where we are right now at the station, for anybody who has, I think, a radio or an automobile that's older or younger than 2012, you should have a radio in your vehicle that receives HD FM radio. As of 5 p.m. Monday, HD1 went online. We think permanently. We've gone through some iterations of trying to get the HDs on. There were some complications. We had to do some minor adjustments to get the timing and the signal correct. It is online now, hopefully forever. So we are launched on HD. We're starting with HD1 because that's the only one that we are prepared to feed on a full-time basis. The way that HD radio works is for everybody that has HD channels, their HD channel 1 is simply a copy of their analog channel. And you ask, why would they have a copy? Well, it's to show off the quality of the technology. So if you are able to tune to WPFW HD1, the effect is dramatic. The sound quality, the audio quality is that much better that it is easily called dramatic. We have what's called a noise floor, you know, the little hiss and the little hum that you have underneath the talking and underneath the music levels. In HD, it disappears. It vanishes. It is completely clean. There are other aspects of the signal that are much better also. Attendant with that channel turning on, there's also a graphic. Our station logo will show up on anybody's dash that has a display that shows station graphics. HUR has standard graphics. KYS has standard graphics. Ours is on now. So we're up and running with HD1. Again, as of Monday, we've got tremendous work to do to bring on the other channels because that is all new content, repurposed content. So in terms of marketing the channels, it's very important that the board understand how we intend to market the HD channels. It's very simple. WPFW is Jazz and Justice Radio. HD2 will be called More Jazz. HD3 will be called More Justice. So just more of what we offer already. You know, it's a deeper dive into our identity. HD4 has a whole other purpose that we have envisioned for years, which is to be a consortium of the universities locally. We have talked to UDC. We have talked to Bowie State. We have talked to University of Maryland. Howard University is talking to us. And if we have that consortium of universities on HD4, we have the resources that each university has to bring to bear. The UDC has the, I forget the gentleman's name. Felix Grant, I think it is. They have the Felix Grant Library, which we would have access to. It's one of the biggest jazz collections, I believe, in the country. We would have access to that library. And it gives us a channel to the younger market here, the youth, basically. And then perhaps deeper affiliations with the universities that can perhaps bring some off-air dollars to the station, because there will be a cost associated with being on the HD channels. We're also in talks with WEAC Radio. We've worked very closely with Kymon and WEAC. We've done projects with them before. They're looking for deeper access via maybe that fourth HD channel. So HD1 proves that it works, and we'll expand on it in the upcoming months, but it's a lot of work to do the build outs to feed three other channels. Other immediate to report, since we did so well with the drive, my instructions to Annette was to pay everything. We need to pay our central services. We needed to pay our health insurance. We needed to pay our payroll. We needed to pay our rents. We paid all the operational liabilities that we need to stay on air, such that we are not behind anymore anywhere that we're aware of. There was a question asked of how we select what vendors to pay. We consult. There's some things that we have to pay because they're Pacifica liabilities, if you will. We have to pay NFCB, National Federation of Community Broadcasters, because they have a program that affords us certain accesses, internet accesses that we would have been provided had we been still on the CPB program, but we're not on the CPB program, so we have to pay NFCB for their services. We consult with the executive director and our compliance officer as to what we must pay and what we can get away with not paying. We had to pay NFCB. We've also paid our BMI ASCAP. WPFW's programming is 65% music. So we have to make sure that we are licensed to carry the music without being fined on a per song basis, perhaps, by BMI ASCAP. So that's taken care of. We have a new trainee at the station. He is 24 years old. His name is Deontay. He is a board operator in training. He is a self-taught audio engineer, second generation. I think I know his uncles. He has already started in training. It's very promising. He's worked with our current board operators, and they kind of sussed him out, and he looks like a very good candidate. Our remote capabilities have expanded recently. Partly because of where we are in pandemic, also partly just because of the inconveniences of programmers having to get to the station, particularly at odd times of day or night. The chief engineer and myself have come up with a simplified system where we have given them equipment that they can use to do their shows from home and feed into the station, and the board operator can put them up. We were having some very serious problems with the early AM shows, 6 AM, 2 AM to 5 AM, folks having a hard time getting in. And Roach Brown had asked for remote capabilities for a very long time. We used to do his show remotely pre-COVID. Now he has the capabilities of doing it without having to have a crew with him. Lona can do the same thing. Arthur McLeod and Shea Butter will be able to do so shortly. So that's expanded our remote capabilities. We have MLK Day coming up next week, and we're in planning right now for exactly how we're going to cover it. There's a rally over in Anacostia that we have traditionally covered pre-COVID. Then when COVID hit, you know, they weren't having the parade or the rally. Now it's back. So we will be back in operation on Monday, covering that, you know, on the ground live from the event. So, and keeping things in real time, Convit Lakai. Yesterday's Haitian show with Eugenia Charles. Eugenia is in Haiti right now. Unfortunately, because of limited connectivity, she was not able to report live from Haiti into her show remotely. She wasn't even able to feed a prepackaged show, so we had to run a show history. So in that case, we were challenged with the existing communication structure on the island. Otherwise, we could have gone live. So that's kind of where we are to date. We have been receiving a lot of questions about reopening the station, and we're watching the trends very carefully. We are not looking to open the station anytime soon based on the current subvariant spiking. We have a cleaning protocol. We don't have a contact tracing protocol yet. We don't even have a spacing protocol in place quite yet, because we're being very, very cautious about reopening the station. And I would like feedback from the board, you know, as to when you think it might be appropriate for us to look at reopening the station. So, I feel like I'm rattling on. Any questions?
Before we get to any questions, Ellen, I just want to note that, Julie and Anita have joined the meeting.
Okay. So hearing no questions right away.
No, wait a minute. No, I didn't ask for questions yet. Let me just say, Jerry, I agree with your caution, with the COVID spike. What I would like to do is, to give serious consideration about this time a month from now to see if it seems likely, if things have calmed down, if it's likely that we will be able to open the station in March. And I'd like to be able to make that determination by a month from now, one way or the other. But I will consult with you on that.
Okay. And on that note then, and having heard earlier from Sarah, we had been planning a field trip before February. Our new trainee and our board operators have yet to see the transmitter site. And there are at least a few members of this board, especially Sarah, that wanted to visit the transmitter site. We're setting up a field trip in January. We would like to have that field trip this month. Sarah, do you think you'd be safe enough to come out to the transmitter?
Well, I'll be very honest with you, probably not, because I wouldn't want to be in close proximity to much of anybody right now. I understand right after your test negative, you start getting really, really contagious. So Give it a month, maybe in February, we'll go out and I'll feel better. First of all, I get really fatigued right now. So let's do it in February and we'll pick at your pleasure.
Okay. We can push it to February. That kind of fits in.
Well,
what?
Don't wait. Don't put it off on my accord. You know, go ahead with the kids and take them out there. I assume they're younger than 50. So they're kids to me. But anyway, take them on out there and, do what you got to do. But, February is probably better for me.
Okay. We'll probably look for a couple of weeks because there's ongoing work out at the transmitter, but it's something that you should be whole. I'll put it that way, because it is quite the accomplishment. You guys have no idea. It's some beautiful work.
Okay. Minerva has a question.
Yes, I do. And, thank you, Jerry, for the report. I'm wondering, do you have any information for us for the next fund drive? I know that it's normally been in February. Is that being planned? And any information you could share with the board about that?
Yes, great question, because we were looking at the dates, and that's still in discussion. Right now, we think the earliest that the next drive would start would be February 19th. Now, there's a possibility, if we can afford it, to push it even further out to February 26th. February is a strange month. We've got some concurring events. February is Black History Month. So we've got to integrate our programming, our pledge drive with Black History Month, of course. February has a bunch of small holidays. It's like President's Day. There's a few other strange days in February where people are off and people are out. So we've got to take into account, you know, those little variables, but the only information that I have right now is that it looks like that drive will either start on the 19th or the 26th, running for 21 days.
Okay, and then just one last question. Normally when these drives take place, and I heard it with the end of year drive, you mentioned the programmers were pitching. Is there any thoughts about asking members of the local station board to pitch? Or you stated people were taking calls, you know, answering the calls for the pledge drive. Are we back to that? Or are you going with a company to be responsible for taking those calls? And did it work better by just asking people to go to Cash App or go online and donate?
The human presence is always the optimal thing to have. I beg, implore, and beseech any board members to help us out with this effort in terms of anything. Pitching, we could use additional voices. Answering phones, we have, you know, a spread system right now where we have maybe a few people. I think we can safely house four people in the pitch center, in the pledge phone center, with them each using a separate phone, a separate laptop, and being 6 feet away from each other. Any help that we could get would be tremendous. I mean, you know, it's a bit much to bear when we don't get any help at all. So if we can get any help,
Jerry, can you share us the logistical information about the ways for people to schedule filling in some of those phone slots by the next meeting, so that
yes.
You know, so the people have something specific to say, okay, I can go here and sign up for that time.
Yes. By the next time we meet, I will have a grid, because we had discussions about having some type of grid so we can say, who do we have when? And it's variable because, you know, there's certain times where we don't need very many people. Right. There are a bunch of variables in this, you know.
Right.
I mean, even with the phone service that we were paying $9,000 per drive, you know, there are certain hours where they were doing nothing.
Right.
You know, okay. So there's a discovery process. We'll make this three-dimensional grid so we know when we need people and who we've got for what times, for by the next call.
Perfect. Thank you. Vanessa.
So in terms of LSB members helping to pitch, everybody hasn't been trained. So if a person has not been trained but is potentially interested in helping, is there an opportunity to be trained, or you're just really looking at people who have already been trained?
There's a potential of us training people, because I've got reasonable help at the station now. This is the board, so I can say it candidly that we now have an interim program director. I have hired an interim program director because there's no way that we can go into an end of year drive and succeed with new programming without a program director. It has to all be coordinated. So Esther Avaram has come on as our interim program director. It's a temporary position, because we've got to have somebody active in that position. And it's been a godsend. She's been doing quite a bit of work. Lona Elias has come on and done a lot of producing also. So with those folks down there also, you know, I can say I've got some board members that would like to come in and perhaps train. And it's minimal training because, you know, we would probably sit you down in front of a microphone in the talk studio and say, go. and it's the type of thing that you learn, I'd say, by doing, you know, and some people, have a presence that's personable. That's what works best. You know, I will say that in the pledge drives, you know, WPFW is very, very human. And the people who do best have a very, very personal touch with their audience. I mean, to the point of tears. I mean, you know, we exceeded records all over the place in this pledge drive. I mean, when somebody goes to 500% of their goal, it's moving. It is quite an accomplishment, quite an achievement. And we had that happen to a few shows. I could almost say several, but I'll say a few shows where, you know, we were seeing 500%, 700%. And that's where they can attach themselves, you know, to the audience. So board members, please, let's make this happen.
Okay. Sarah.
Jerry, just as a side note, and maybe this is something specific to me, but I find that, when I was a kid, I used to be on the radio every now and then because I was in Brazil and I was kind of an oddity, but I enjoyed being on the radio. But it's different now because, and you have to go on the radio or you have to practice to be efficient and effective and confident when you get on the air because you don't know exactly what you sound like. There's no side tone anymore. When I was on the radio, we had to have the cans on and we had to listen to ourselves and we could hear what we sounded like and we adjusted. Now we're kind of just talking into a microphone and catching it as it can. So, I beg of you, do the practice and do remember that people need to practice beyond just, you know, once a year and then letting them free on the air. They need to hone those skills of getting on the radio so that they're confident. They know how to rein their time in and, you know, they keep their levels down and they keep their tonality up. You know, and all that sort of stuff that you do if you had side tone, which we don't have anymore. Sorry if I'm rattling on. I'm not feeling that great right now. So I'm probably rattling on.
No, but to what you're saying, we will make sure that they are wearing headsets because, you know, that way you clearly hear yourself. And our practice in the talk studio when we had people is to give them cans, put them on headsets. So they can clearly hear themselves and we'll advise them as they go. And okay, I agree with everything that you're saying. They need to practice.
Okay. We have another question. Minerva.
Yes, Jerry. And in doing this, has there been any thought given maybe to, we get a lot of individuals who are just the community that sing the praises of WPFW. Is there any thought to maybe recording some of those and having that be part of the drive when it's going forward? And just one final statement before you answer that. You mentioned that the PD was, out. Do we have someone that is acting in her place? Do we have an interim PD or can you, give us a little information there?
Yeah, you missed that. Yes, we have an interim PD right now. At this time, Esther Averam has come on as our interim PD and she slotted in, very elegantly, I'd have to say, because she's already a programmer in public affairs. So she understands our programming quite well. She understands public affairs programming even better and she understands the mechanics of programming. So she is our acting interim, program director at this time. So to your question, as regards endorsements, you know, listener endorsements. It has been suggested on numerous occasions, and we've just never sat down and actually done it. There has to be, you know, a small schedule, you know, and a, you know, small, a file folder, you know, a routine where we can get testimonials. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about testimonials. And in some cases, since we've got a much improved phone system and a much improved Zoom system, the audio quality is such that we might be able to take testimonials by Zoom or by phone. But I think it's a great idea, but you just got to keep the fire under this idea so that we finally set up a mechanism and actually do the man on the street, you know, person at home testimonial. I think it has a lot of traction in terms of marketing the stations.
Other comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, Jerry. And I guess now we will move to the finance report. Kamau. Oh, Ellen, I'm sorry.
You didn't say whether the minutes were approved.
Yes, they were.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, come on.
Thanks, Dennis. Good evening. Finance committee for the local station board consists of myself, treasurer and chair, Julie Hewitt, Lou Wolf, Sabu Hakim, and Eileen Rawson. We were not able to meet. It's a fault of mine on Monday. Not knowing the logistics of setting up and getting the meetings out on time on the website. So we will meet on the 6th of February at our regular scheduled time at 7 p.m. That's a Monday. I did send out late this evening, just before the meeting, a small written report, and I'll read it as such. The Finance Committee was not able to meet prior to the January 11th local station board meeting. The following goals for the committee are listed below with further discussion and refinement to be done at the next committee meeting. One, develop a standard set of financial reports to be presented at each meeting of the LSB. Two, implementation of internal controls to ensure the integrity of financial reporting, promote accountability and prevent fraud. And number three, completion of the fiscal year 2023 station budget, including narratives. Those are the top three, but they're at our next meeting, we intend to scrub these and or add or subtract as necessary. The following financial information was provided by the station management. Cash on hand as of 1/9, that was on Monday, is $168,839. The outstanding accounts payable as of 12/31/22 was $143,235. And as Jerry noted earlier, the winter or end of year pledge drive collected $208,896. I'll pause there if there's any questions, if anybody missed anything. Okay. The cash on hand total does not take into account the amount due to the national office to cover the 115 payroll. Okay, so what that means is of that 168, that's going to be reduced in order to get the payroll paid on the 15th. There was a detailed schedule of the outstanding accounts payable. I'll go over that in a second. That was also sent out, so you'll know what exactly is outstanding. And then the, again, Jerry did report on the pledge drive and all the machinations around, making that work. I think, he referred to it as a great feat in athleticism in order to get it done. In conclusion, the next finance committee will, the finance committee will meet on Monday, February 6th at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Thank you to all the committee members for their service. The second page of the report does contain the outstanding accounts payable. And for those that may not be savvy, all that means is that's the bills that we have not paid yet that have, that are due currently. And right now we do have 2 months of rent, November and December outstanding, totaling $33,668. There's a Pepco bill for the month of December, totaling $4,726. A couple of HVAC services. I wanted to, maybe Jerry knows this, but I wanted to see if Annette had this, some details. They say the same thing, but they're two substantially different numbers, $960 and then $10,500. So these go back to July. So maybe Jerry can provide some clarity there. There's a central service for Pacifica Radio Archives, October, November, and December, outstanding right now, totaling $6,123. There's tower rent for November and December, totaling $12,542. Again, another central services for September, October, November, and December is outstanding as of December 31st. That total is $50,560. The RRC Nielsen data service, which is currently suspended, outstanding bill there is $6,960. The ASCAP licensing, outstanding $11,320. There's a contractor, I guess this is the name, Vicky Media, for November and December. Outstanding amount is $2,000. And the National Fed of Community Broadcasting, as of December 31st, is outstanding $3,875. Total outstanding $143,235 as of December 31st. So that's the information I have here. Let me give, go ahead. I heard someone saying something.
Yeah, come on. This is Jerry, real fast on the HVAC stuff that you're seeing. I actually made mention of this on the air, so everybody needs to know some of the stuff that we have to endure at the station. We had some serious air conditioning problems, and then, you know, the same system that handles air conditioning handles heating. So we had a company come in. At this meeting, I say who they are. I can't say who they are on the air because they'll probably sue us. The company is called SMI, Service Mechanical Incorporated. They came in to do the work on our HVAC, and they gave us a proposal of repair costs at $7,500, initial estimate. That estimate then came back with a $5,000 increase, taking it up to $12,500. And then they added final insult and added another $10,000 to the proposal, proposing that it would cost us $22,500 to fix our HVAC. In consulting with the building maintenance people down there at 1990K, we found out that that company was like a wounded animal struggling for life. They were gouging their existing customers so that they could stay alive. They were about to go bankrupt. We canceled our relationship with them. I called another company in, and I got the heating system fixed for $525 as opposed to this $22,000. Because, you know, we were in a very bad way. It was freezing down there. Called somebody else. We got the system fixed. So, Kamal, you might be seeing a vendor bill from about $10,000, which was proposed by SMI. You can discount that. We are not completing any of their work. We're discontinuing any arrangement that we had with them. And should they challenge us, I'd be willing to countersue if we had to go into any type of, you know, dispute in collections. So we go through that kind of thing. Unfortunately, right now it is only Service Mechanical that is doing that to us. We encountered somebody else in terms of phone services.
Okay.
That did the same thing. We canceled with them. We have new phone services.
Okay. Did that, did you have other questions for Jerry Kamau? Cause I do have a couple of hands.
That wasn't really, well, I mean, that was just a point of clarity on the HVAC piece. I didn't really have any direct question for Jerry, but, you know, I hear your explanation of the 10-5, but you know, on the report, cause I don't see any bills. I just get this, report out, from Annette, and I'm assuming you receive as well, that it states that the HVAC service was in July. So I don't know if that was a heating issue in July or not in terms of how cold it was. And then, also it appeared on the previous months in November as the same amount. So this has been carried over for a couple months, month over month now on the outstanding AP list that I've got here. But other than that, those are the details that we received based on, you know, some of the information that the board would like to have. We do not have any financials, yet. The last bit of financials were issued out were August. We got those last month. And so we're still waiting on the national office to produce the financials for September, October. Really September is key. So that'll close out our fiscal year. And then we'll be able to use that to kind of build hopefully the 23 budget off of that. So that's all we have here at the finance committee.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thomas. Come on in here. Mr. Blanton.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. The place drive report was 208,000 plus. Is that collected or pledged?
If you're asking me, I have to defer to Jerry and his team.
That is pledged, but what is received is, I think, Kamau, you reported 197 in the accounts to date.
168. So that includes part of what was received from the 208. Is that what you're saying, Jerry?
Yes. So it trickles in on a daily basis. A lot has gone unreported because of people being out of office. So, Annette was on vacation for the bulk of this drive.
When we say unreported, what do you mean?
It's not put into the system. We have to manually deposit checks.
Okay. You know, it hasn't been recorded yet.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
We receive a fair number of checks through the mail. We actually have a relationship with our postal carrier because, you know, she comes to the station almost on a daily basis with a stack of mail, and usually there are checks in there.
Okay.
We amass a certain number of checks on almost a daily basis and make the trip over to Truist and, you know, make those deposits.
Okay.
So.
All right. I have another question for Mr. Tatum. I'm sorry, Thomas, was that it?
I think you just engaged on a problem that needs to be taken back to the committee. There needs to be some work done with cash on hand, anticipated. Some of the finance guys need to work on that. That got us in trouble in August, that we told the public we received X amount when we had only pledged X amount.
Ah, yes, okay. There's a figure called fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the factor is something like 85%. And I may recollect incorrectly, but I think it's 85%. So you have to look at what is 85% of 208, and that gives you the fulfillment figure.
Let me just say, and I see you, Mr. Tatum. I'm coming to you in a minute. I just want to say that that is also potentially where some of the